May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn number 44. Hear, Lord, my soul convicted stands of breaking all thy 10 commands, and on me justly mightst thou pour thy wrath in one eternal shell. Hymn number 44.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, from the book of Genesis, chapter 42. The book of Genesis, reading chapter 42. Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do ye look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither, and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, Lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, Ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said unto him, Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons, we are true men, thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. Behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. Joseph said unto them, That is it that I spake unto you, saying, Ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither, send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, This do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, We are verily guilty concerning our brother. in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child? And ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, and to restore every man's money into his sack, and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn, and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, My money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, What is this that God hath done unto us? And they came unto Jacob their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, The man, who is the lord of the land, spake roughly to us, and took us the spies of the country. And we said unto him, We are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father, one is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, Hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone, and bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver unto you your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in the which ye go, then shall ye bring down my grey hairs with sorrow to the grave. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Most holy, almighty, sovereign Lord God, most gracious and merciful, help and enable us now to come before thee. But Lord, do bring us to that spot of ground, that ground of thy mercy. All for no other place is safe. All but Lord, to be found upon mercy's ground, approaching unto thee. Oh, to behold the footstool of thy mercy, the throne of thy grace, the place ordained, appointed, for thou hast said, and there will I meet with thee, and there will I commune with thee, from between the two cherubims of glory, from above the seat of mercy. Oh, that there is a mercy seat, a propitiation, and grant us the eye of faith to look up, to see no man save Jesus only. He who said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, to behold that open door of thy mercy, opened, oh, upon the death of Christ, when the veil of the temple was rent in twain, for a new and a living way had been made for sinners to approach unto God. He who died upon a cross at Calvary, he that shed his own heart's precious blood, sin-atoning blood, meritorious blood, invaluable blood. Oh, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. May we come pleading that blood that does for sin atone. For Lord, we are sinners. All have sinned. Lord, we have sinned against thee. We have broken thy holy law, as we sung in our opening hymn. And Lord, thou knowest those who sung it tremblingly from the depths of their heart, oh, feelingly, feeling to be a condemned sinner, a hell-deserving sinner. Oh, Lord, those who greatly tremble on account of their sin. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done all this evil in thy sight. All that we deserve thy wrath and anger. We deserve to be cut off and cast into hell to perish eternally. Lord, that our sins are innumerable, that our sins abound, that our hearts are deceitful above all things and so desperately wicked. O Lord, defiled from head to foot, full of sin, cannot cease from sin, it's in our nature. Sins of thought, sins of word, sins of deed, sins of commission, sins of omission, and sins against light and knowledge. All unholy and unclean, I am nothing else but sin. But oh, to continue with the dear hymn writer, on thy mercy I rely. Give me Christ, or else I die. Oh, there to behold that door of hope, that door of thy mercy, opened wide in Jesus' wounded hands and side. Oh, the Lord Jesus in his person, in his work. The Lord Jesus, a saviour of sinners, mighty to save, able to save, willing to save. Oh, to know him as our saviour. May it be our great concern as we come into thine earthly courts here, this morning hour of thy day, to worship thee, to commune with thee, oh, to receive of thy word, to know a precious Jesus as our all in all. Oh, that revelation of yon lovely man showing himself through the lattice. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. O Lord, to be taught that one thing is needful, that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, our Saviour, our Lord, our all in all. Lord, deny me what thou wilt. Only ease me of my guilt. Suppliant at thy feet I lie. Give me Christ, or else I die. Dear Lord Jesus, do come. Oh, do come this day, do come this hour. Oh, come into our midst and come into our hearts. Come and reign over us. Oh, do come and commune with us. Oh, do come and speak unto us. Oh, Lord, do come and touch our hearts. Grant us a gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, to be blessed with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yea, to know that spiritual life, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Spirit that quickeneth, the Spirit that teacheth, he shall take of mine and show it unto you. Oh, we pray that there might be some revelation this day, some good thing done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus, some heart touched, some soul blessed, some sinner converted, quickened, born again, wrought upon, made to feel their need. Oh, we pray that others might be strengthened, confirmed, comforted, encouraged. Lord, suit thy word unto every case and to every condition. Lord, if any need chastening, rebuking, correcting, thou knowest. Any who need guidance, direction, any who long to know thy will, any who feel troubled and tried and burdened, any cast down, dejected, oppressed, disappointed, beset, wandering where the scene will end, walking in darkness, hath no light. When, oh, when will it be day? Those who need a word in due season, the good Samaritan to come unto them, just where they are. So, Lord, remember each one gathered here, from the youngest to the eldest. Lord, none too young for thy notice, none too old for thy care. Thou knowest the needs of each one, spiritual and providential. We pray that there may be that supply of every need from the God of all grace, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Oh, pour in the oil and wine of the gospel. Do poor sinners good. Pray for the little ones, the children, the young people growing up into life. Lord, keep them, watch over them, preserve them, guard them. Oh, plant thy holy fear deep into their hearts. Call them by thy grace. And may they prove to be of that generation to come, that generation that shall call thee the Redeemer, blessed. Remember parents, oh, do help them. What grace is needed to bring our children up aright in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and to set that good example to them. And pray for all in the midst of life. Many burdens, cares, responsibilities in the home, in the workplace, and matters to be attended to. All the pressures of life. Oh, Lord, do grant that strength sufficient and all needed wisdom to know what to do in various situations and circumstances. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith. Remember older friends also, in declining years, many infirmities, many afflictions. Sanctify these things unto them, and may they yet prove thy faithfulness and thy goodness and thy compassions, they fail not. Bless his cause of truth. Lord, do remember those absent. Oh, Lord, remember them where they are. Remember those in affliction, those in difficult circumstances. Oh, Lord, do be very merciful and very gracious. And may they prove here that thy Spirit remaineth. And may there yet be those evidences of thy Spirit's work here. Let thy work appear. Oh, call sinners by thy almighty, irresistible grace, and may seekers become finders, and may there be those yet to rejoice in the joy of thy salvation. Bless the ministry of thy word here, help thy servants who come from time to time, and if it be thy holy sovereign will, grant to them yet an under-shepherd, one to go in and out amongst them, to feed them with knowledge and understanding. Lord, what we pray for here, we pray for each cause in Zion, and remember thy people in this difficult and dark day in which our lot has been cast. Oh, to be kept faithful. And yet we would be thankful for all thy many, many mercies, that we have so much to be thankful for, to praise God from whom all blessings flow. Grant us, Lord, truly thankful hearts. Help us as we return to thy word. Lord, open the book. Open the scriptures. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, and open our hearts to receive it. Forgive our every sin. Send answers of peace, we pray. We ask all for Jesus' sake alone.
Hymn number 95. And did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise? Hymn number 95.
Thank you.
the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention to the chapter we read together, the book of Genesis, chapter 42, and the last clause in verse 36. All these things are against me. Genesis chapter 42, from verse 36, the last clause. All these things are against me. And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children? Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. With caution should we tread. For as we sow, we reap, and oft bring mischief on our heads by some unwary step. And Jacob, the deceiver, is now the one being deceived. Jacob, who had caused so much grief in his younger days, is now suffering so much grief in his older days. Dear friends, it's an absolute fact that what we sow, we shall reap. And how careful we ought to be. In many ways, this chapter is remarkable. Now, Joseph, he had a period of suffering. Or how, no doubt, when his brethren would sell him to the Ishmaelites, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. They were determined to get rid of him. They hated him. They despised him. And so they saw their opportunity, the Ishmaelites, the Midianites coming down toward Egypt, and they sold him for a slave. And I'm sure many of them thought they would never see him again. Now we shall see what will come of his dreams. And they thought that they could get away with it. They thought God wasn't watching. They thought God wasn't taking any notice. And I wonder how many of us here, perhaps in our younger days, all did such foolish things. And we thought we'd get away with it. We thought God wasn't watching. God wasn't taking any notice. There is a very solemn, very searching word in Scripture. It applies to all, really all mankind. Be sure your sin will find you out. Now, dear friends, may it be our mercy for our sins to find us out this side of the grave. Because I believe if they do, then it must be of God to convict and convince of sin, to grant us that godly sorrow which worketh repentance unto salvation. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And remember of what it was said concerning the Lord Jesus, although spoken in hatred and derision, enmity, this man receiveth sinners. And it is sinners, guilty sinners, condemned sinners, undone, lost, wretched sinners, awakened and taught and led by the Spirit, who are brought to feel their need of the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood and his spotless robe of righteousness to save them from all of their sins. Now, without any conviction of sin, there will be no confession. Now, again, a living soul, a spirit-taught soul, will long to be saved from mere lip confession. That is, a mere acknowledgement, but no godly sorrow, no broken heart, no contrite spirit, no true repentance, but just a lip confession and still pursuing that mad career of sin. I thought actually on the way up of that word, those words of the Lord Jesus, by their fruits ye shall know them. Those who are of the living family of God, those who are truly born again, those who are taught of God, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, Jacob was a child of God, loved with an everlasting love. The Lord has set his love upon him. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. The sovereignty of Almighty God. One chosen, the other left. Perhaps Esau had a life of relative ease, relative comforts. When he came out against Jacob at that time, he could easily find 400 men to bring with him. Perhaps he had a great household. Perhaps he had many comforts in his life. Perhaps he knew little in the way of disappointments and troubles and tribulations and the like. And yet one day he died and was cast into hell. Jacob, the one loved of God, well, Jacob must be taught of God and led of God. Few and evil have been the days of my life. You see, it was one trouble after another. And barely had one trouble or trial been gotten over, than another one came along. Oh, Jacob knew little in the way of comforts. Oh, Jacob very seldom felt to be free of trouble. And yet he must prove, like every child of God, by these things men live. Or would we not pray, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. What a great mercy if we know something of a living soul. The life of God in our hearts. That spiritual life. That well of water springing up unto eternal life. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If our religion is real, oh, if we are truly taught of God, then the Lord will have dealings with us. And perhaps some of us feel much need of chastening, correcting. Oh, we feel much of the old man of sin that would wander from the Lord, taking unwary steps, bringing mischief upon our heads, calling for the rod, calling for correction, calling for the Lord's dealings. And yet how Jacob would prove the loving kindness of his God. Oh, how Jacob would prove the Lord's love to him. How Jacob would prove, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Perhaps here we have Jacob at the lowest point of his life. Everything seemed to be going wrong and he just couldn't understand it. And I'm sure the enemy was attacking him, taunting him, where is now thy God? Thy God whom thou hast boasted of. Thy God whom thou look to, thy God whom thou dost pray to, where is now thy God? You see, it wasn't just that Joseph is not, and that Simeon is not. There were other things also. He'd lost his beloved Rachel. The love that Jacob had toward Rachel, determined to have her, to spend all those years serving for her. But really, he didn't have her that long. At the birth of Benjamin, she died. We're not told much about Leah, how long she lived for, when she died. I believe I'm right in saying that when Jacob, and perhaps at this time, did go down to Egypt, we're not told of Leah being alive there. One would imagine that Jacob was a very lonely man. And I believe another careful study of the scriptures, and many do not perhaps consider this, that also he hadn't long lost his dear father Isaac. It is reckoned that Isaac was still alive when Joseph was cruelly taken away by his brethren down into Egypt. Although by the time that Jacob went down, of course, Isaac had died. So he'd lost his wife, perhaps both his wives. He'd lost his father. And then Joseph is not. Oh, what a warning to any parent to have a favourite child. It would appear that Joseph was his favourite child while he made him that robe of many colours, which brought the envy and jealousy of the other brethren. Oh, how Jacob had to suffer. And when the brethren brought back that rent, blood-stained robe, surely an evil beast had slain him. Jacob came to that conclusion that Joseph had died. He felt the evidence was there. Oh, he felt sure that that thing had happened. Joseph is not. He mourned for his son Joseph. Like Joseph, I feel quite sure that Jacob also would have struggled concerning those dreams. Of Joseph, we read while in prison in Egypt, how the word of the Lord tried him. Now, remember when Joseph first related those dreams to his father and brethren, the brethren hated him. But I think we read that Jacob observed the saying. He didn't cast it out. He didn't reject it. He thought about it. Would it be? Would this happen? But then, fearing that Joseph had died, the dream seemed to die with him. Now there would be no bowing down before Joseph. Again, how careful we need to be. Coming to those conclusions, which perhaps are against the word of God, although we feel we have ample, sufficient evidence to come to that conclusion. I often think of the servants of Jairus. You remember he came to Jesus, his only daughter was dying. He'd fully hoped that Jesus would come and raise up his daughter from that deathbed. But then, while attending to that woman with the issue of blood and healing her and sending her away rejoicing, the servants of Jairus come and they say, "Trouble not the master. Thy daughter is dead. It's now too late. There's now no hope. It's all over." And you think about that, where the Lord has perhaps given to you a promise, raised your hope like the psalmist. "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope." And the Lord has given you that hope in his word. But perhaps something, all these things are against me. Something has happened. It's like, "Thy daughter is dead. The matter's now dead. Trouble not the master. Do not pray any more. There's absolutely no hope now." Dear friend, I believe if the Lord has given you that hope, the Lord will maintain that hope. Or it may be a very tried hope. It may be a very faint hope or a weak hope. I believe the Lord will enable you to hope against hope with a who can tell. Now, really, that's the work of Satan, to say, "Trouble not the master. Give up praying, because there is no hope." Satan, who would make shipwreck of your faith, to bring you to that of no hope, absolute despair. Do not pray. Oh, the Lord in his word gives every encouragement to pray. To continue in prayer, to pray on the God of all hope. But Jacob really felt that Joseph was not, that he was dead. And then the next thing, this severe famine coming into the land. I feel quite sure that in our land, and at our time and generation, we cannot fully appreciate what it must be like to be in a land where there is such a famine. Remember, transportation in those days was very limited, nothing like we know today, where food can be brought in from around the world so quickly. Nothing of this. A famine had the sentence of death upon it. Indeed, did not Jacob say to his sons, "Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die"? And really, it was through the famine that the Lord would, as it were, force Jacob to send Benjamin down to Egypt. It was either send Benjamin down, bow to the will of God, or he must die. Both Jacob and Benjamin. All that severe famine. Oh, what a trial it must have been. What a trouble it must have been. And then ascending down of the brethren, his sons. And Simeon does not come back with them. Bound in prison. And then the demands of this lord of the land, this ruler, the second only to Pharaoh, and how he spoke so roughly, how he was so hard with them, demanding the youngest son, having accused them of being spies in the land. And by this, Joseph was dealing very wisely with them, to see if his brethren were still that hard, cruel, vicious men that they were when he knew them, or to see whether there had been any change of heart, or whether to see if they had been convicted of their sins. whether to see if the Lord had thus dealt with them. And how remarkable to consider Joseph of Korth having learned to no doubt master the Egyptian language, he spoke through an interpreter. Do not interpretations belong unto God? And the brethren could not know that this hard man either could understand what they were saying, and little would they ever have thought or imagined that he was their brother Joseph. But you see, here God is in control, ordering all things after the counsel of his own will. Well, dear Jacob was brought to this, all these things are against me. And perhaps one or another has come into the house of God today. And it may be like Jacob's circumstances in your life. Things that you are passing through. It seems to be wave upon wave. One thing after another. Like dear Job, in those opening chapters, one servant coming on the heels of another, one thing after another, with sad tidings, evil tidings, all these things are against me. Are against me, not going for me. Things are not going well. Things are going ill. Oh, there are these troubles, there are these difficulties, there are these problems, there are these things besetting me, there are these things opposing me. There are those attacking me. All these things are against me. And yet to believe, and here is work for faith, that God is in control. Of course, we know the whole account of Jacob and Joseph and the sons, and what happened at the end. Of course, they only understood things as they happened day by day. Jacob did not know what was before him. He couldn't have imagined that that lord of the land, that man who spoke so roughly, that man who was, he might feel, being so cruel as to demand the youngest son, Benjamin, also to come down. I'm sure Jacob's greatest fear was not just something would befall Benjamin, was that that rough man might imprison Benjamin, might even kill Benjamin. Never could Jacob have imagined that that lord of the land was his dearly beloved son, Joseph. And really in this he limited the Holy One of Israel. Remember, it was the word of God which Joseph dreamed that one day his father and brethren would bow down and do obeisance to him. Not for any self-glory to Joseph, but it was the will of God that Joseph must be raised up. And the brethren fought against this, and Jacob could not understand it. But oh, at such times when all these things are against me, still to trust in God. You may feel to be like the disciples in that little ship, when Jesus had constrained them into that ship. Perhaps you feel to be constrained into a certain pathway, constrained to do a certain thing, to go a certain way, constrained by the will of God, the word of God, the commandment of God. But now it was dark. Things have become dark. Perhaps you feel you cannot see your way. And Jesus had not come unto them. And often absent God they mourn. And how often in our pilgrimage, oh, do we feel that the Lord is afar off. The Lord minds us not. And yet we read that Jesus saw them. And there is comfort to be drawn from this. There they were in the midst of that lake. And it was dark. And there was Jesus high up in the mountain, praying for them, watching over them. Though they could not see him, he could see them, as if it was as clear as the midday sun. He could see them perfectly, collectively, individually. He knew what they were going through. Jesus, the glorious head of grace, knows every saint's peculiar case. What sorrows by their souls are borne, and how for sin they daily mourn. And what did he see? He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary. The wind was against them. Again, oh, I often say to my children that you cannot beat experience. Unless perhaps we have experienced what it's been like to be out in a boat with the sails, rowing, and the wind to be contrary, the wind to be against. Perhaps we don't really understand what it's like to be toiling and rowing, labouring hard. And yet perhaps in our own experience, our own pathway, we feel to know something of it. Things are hard. Things are against. The wind is not behind us. All of these things are against me. And you know that question that we are so often asking. And if we have a fear of God in our hearts, we will be asking God. It is that question of one word. Why? How often we're brought to ask that question. Why? All these things are against me. Why? Well, what a mercy if the Lord is taking the trouble to deal with us. Oh, what a mercy if the Lord is chastening us, scourging us, correcting us. For in all these things there is teaching, there is instruction, there is profit. Oh, to be made wise. Wise to the Lord's dealings, to be blessed with that gracious discernment, to discern the hand of the Lord. All these things are against me. How often we struggle with the will of God. Could it not be said of the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? In one sense, all these things are against me. As he must pay the punishment instead, bear the sins of his people, that all the sins of the whole election of grace down through the ages of time must be laid upon him. What he must suffer. What agonies. Or what he had to pass through. Did Christ, my Lord, suffer? And shall I repine? And yet you see the grace shining through beautifully, perfectly. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Thine be done. all of these things are against me. It is through much tribulation that we shall enter into the kingdom of God. You see, if all these things weren't against you, perhaps you wouldn't be so prayerful. Or perhaps you wouldn't be so diligent in the scriptures. Or perhaps you'd often backslide and turn aside and lean upon your own understanding. Or perhaps you wouldn't ask help of God. Perhaps you wouldn't look to the Lord. You see, in all the Lord's dealings with his people, he'll sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. Or he will teach thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. Again and again and again, all thy troubles, all thy tribulations, all thy problems, all thy perplexities, take it to the Lord in prayer. God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. We wonder at the emotions, if that is the right word, of the reunion of Jacob and Joseph. As I mentioned, that really Jacob was forced to let Benjamin go. Really, he was brought to this submission to the holy will of God. Resignation. Oh, how often perhaps we may be clinging, cleaving to our Benjamins. Benjamin shall not go down with you. Now, that's our will. But if God has determined that Benjamin shall go down, then the Lord also order it, and we may bring many troubles and many sorrows and many griefs upon our own heads by trying to fight against God. But when grace is given, as it were, to let go, I'm sure Jacob committed Benjamin into the hands of the Lord. And I'm sure every day he would have prayed for Benjamin and the other brethren, and he would have prayed concerning that lord of the land, that he would be very merciful and gracious. Oh, I'm sure that he would pray that his Benjamin might also be brought back safely. But the Lord had provided some better thing. Oh, far, far more better. That when the brethren did come back, not only was there Benjamin, not only also was there Simeon, but there were those glad tidings of what would have seemed utterly impossible. Joseph is yet alive. And he is the governor of the land. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can either ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Though at present it may be all these things are against me. Oh, to prove like Jacob and like Joseph earlier how the Lord had gone before. Oh, whoso is wise and shall observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. I'm sure Moses also would echo the language of Jacob here. All these things are against me. When after being so reluctant to go into Egypt, to bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt, and the Lord had promised that that would be so? The Lord had not forgotten his people. The Lord would be with Moses. Certainly, I will be with thee. And so, I'm sure with a measure of confidence with Aaron, they go on to Pharaoh and demand the release of the children of Israel. And you know how Pharaoh rebuffed them. I know not the Lord, neither will I let the children of Israel go. And Pharaoh was so incensed that he took away the straw from the children of Israel and yet demanded the same tailor bricks. He made it nigh impossible for them. So not only had Pharaoh and the Egyptians turned against Moses, we find also that the children of Israel and the officers, who now felt to be in an impossible situation, they also turned against Moses. Had Moses not intervened, if Moses had not appeared, then they could have continued with their straw and their tailored bricks. Things would have been easier. But since Moses had come, now they feel to be under such great affliction and distress. And really they were saying to Moses, it's all your fault, you're to blame. All these things are against me. And what did Moses do? He took it all to the Lord in prayer. Moses returned unto the Lord. He had his wives. Why hast thou sent me? Why hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why hast thou not delivered thy people? Why has all this evil come upon us? All these things are against me. But the Lord replied. Do remember that in prayer. We seek to commune with the Lord. It's not a one-way thing. Yes, we pray, but because our God is a living God, the Almighty God, the Lord will answer. In his time, in his way, and to his honour and glory. But the Lord will answer. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye my face in vain. But knock and it shall be opened, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find. All the Lord does answer the prayers of his poor people. And the Lord answered Moses, the Lord replied to him, now shalt thou see what I will do. What I will do. Though you may feel at present all these things are against me, there is that who can tell. Though at present it may be darkness, toiling, rowing, or the wind contrary. Although at present it may be one trouble upon another. Why through darksome paths we go and can see no reason, yet we shall hereafter know, each in his due season. And I believe in looking back we will be able to see the wisdom, grace, loving kindness of God. He who is too wise to err, too good to be unkind. All these things are against me. A child of God will have to prove three enemies who will be against him: Satan, the world, and the old man of sin. All these things are against me. Yes, Satan, in his accusations, his temptations, at times appearing as a roaring lion, at other times as an angel of light, ever seeking to turn us out of the way, to oppose us. All these things are against me. The worldling, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you as it hated Christ. And if we are his true disciples, Oh, if we truly seek to serve him, to follow him, then the world will be against us. All these things are against me. And what shall you see in a Shulamite, as it were, the company of two armies, warring against each other? The old man of sin striving against the new man of grace, seeking to conquer the soul of man. Oh, that I had not of myself. You read in Romans 7 of the Apostle Paul's struggle with that old man of sin. The good that I would do, that I do not. The evil that I would not do, that it is that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, all these things are against me. The power of sin. The power of temptation. All the times that we may fall, and you read through the scriptures and all those godly people, how at times they fell. All these things are against me. If God be for us, who then can be against us? And yet we do have our enemies, but oh, to remember that if God be for us, or we shall, or I think it's read concerning Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. More than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. Just one final thought comes to mind, and this can be very solemn and very searching. All these things are against me. Well, I'm sure Naomi also would have said the same, going into the land of Moab. Oh, if ever there's a warning against going into the land of Moab, going into the enemy's country, his territory, surely it's found there. She lost her husband. Then she lost her sons. And then she heard of the Lord visiting his people in the land of Israel. And what did she say to Ruth and Orpah? Seeing the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. All of these things are against me. Now, of course, I do not know. But if one has wandered, as it were, into the land of Moab, wandered into forbidden ways, wandered backslidden from the ways of God, really, we come back to where we started, be sure your sin will find you out. Now, although it was true the hand of the Lord had gone out against Naomi, it was in mercy to bring her back again, to bring her back into the land of Israel, or to bring her back amongst her own people. So you see here the sovereignty of God, the wisdom of God. At times his hand goes out against his people, causing them to suffer, bringing them into need, bringing them down, humbling them under his mighty hand, that he might bring them back. All back, as it were, under his loving eye and protection, back under the shadow of his wings, back to where they should be, back to where the Lord would have them to be. Oh, dear friends, it is vain to fight against God. And yet how often we do. Would we not rather to know the Lord is on our side? If God be for us, who then can be against us? What a warning of wandering from the Lord. All these things are against me. Well, this is what Jacob said, because this is what Jacob felt. And here the Lord was dealing with him. Here the Lord was yet humbling him, proving him. Here the Lord was yet bringing him down. And yet there would be that time when the Lord would surely turn and smile again. Or there would be that time when the Lord would turn again his captivity. At this time, Jacob could not see those things which lay before. He could only see death. But his God, his wonder-working God, his God had gone before. And what blessings and what comforts awaited Jacob. And I trust and believe it will also be with you. What things may yet await. So really it brings us to this in conclusion, though all these things are against me, and you feel it painfully, oh may the Lord help you and I to trust in him.
Collections last Lord's Day amount to £736, for which we're very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with address by our friend Mr. Pickett. Mr. Chapman is engaged to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday school and administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close with hymn 1031. What a vile, deceitful heart, filled with sin in every part, but for free and sovereign grace, hell had been my destined place. 1031.
Thank you.
tender grace of the Saviour, the love of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.